Before we get started, we're going to sing a couple Christmas songs here together this morning, but how about you go around and just tell a few people this morning, Merry Christmas.
To the new born King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King, yeah. Glory to the King. Sing glory, glory to the King, yeah. Glory to the King. Glory to the King, yeah. Glory to the King. Glory to the King, yeah. Glory to the King.
Jesus. Amen. Let's just lift up our hands and worship Him this morning. God, we love You. We worship You.
Water You turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You. There's none like You. Darkness You shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like You, there's none like You.
Come on, sing this out.
That our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, also in power. Our God is
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. I'm on. Hello. It's so good to be in God's house to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our hope. Whatever we need, that's who he is. It's just his word. It's his word. And I've had a burden all morning just to do something that God says his house is a house of prayer. And so I just wanted to pray with you today. I just wanted to pray with you that this season will be a season of miracles for you. No matter what you need. How many would just say, I have a need? Can you just raise your hand? Just keep it up there. I want to look around. I have something that I'm praying about. Raise your hand. Come on. Then I want us to pray together as a church family that no matter what is represented here, that God is going to do some miracles. He's going to do some miracles. I just have had in my spirit that this is a season of miracles. It's the season of miracles. I believe in a God of miracles. So I just want to have you pray with me today. Will you pray with me today? And I want to pray that one of our men that come here every Sunday is in the hospital and they're watching this morning. And Corey, I just want you to know that we're praying that in your room, and I won't say it because I don't want everybody to go after, but we're believing that God's going to go up on that fifth floor. He's going to get off that elevator. He's going to take that hall, and he's going to take the second room, and he's going to come in and touch you today. He's going to touch you. I believe that. So let's just pray together, okay? Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are a God of miracles. Lord, we come today and we just know that in every section, it represents different needs. In the balcony, there are different needs than there are in the front row. Different needs all through this auditorium. And I pray that today that you begin to work on those circumstances. Let their faith move and let them know that you're working all things together for good. That you're our healer, you're our comforter, you're our joy. We just thank you for what you're going to do in this service. This is a family service, and we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless families. We pray for one of our family in the hospital this morning. We pray for Corey. We pray for Annette, Lord, that you'll be in that room. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you heal his body. I pray, Lord, that they will see even a difference today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just look at somebody and say, a season of miracles is here. And you may be seated. What you doing, honey? It's a Tic Tac. Are you hungry? No, okay. It's a green Tic Tac. Okay, we're just so glad that you're here. I actually saw a lot of visitors on my way in. So maybe this is your first time being at Charleston Church. And we want you to know that we are glad that you are here. So Charleston Church, will you welcome our visitors? And if you would just take the thing in front of your seat. That's not right. Help me out, Vinny. I know you hear me. Contact card. Sorry. Woo! Just like that, it's gone. The contact card in front of you if you're visiting, and fill that out and put it in the offering. And we're just glad you're here. Everybody needs a church. Everybody. And it's important to actually have a good church. And this is a good church. And if you're a visitor and you're leaving, when you leave, the Welcome Center out there has a box for you. It would be your first Christmas present. So stop and get that. That's for you. That's from this church. How many know that we have a lot going on at Charleston Church? And that's a great thing. So I just wanted to tell you that next Sunday, we're going to have Sunday school. It'll be New Year's Eve. and we're going to have church. And then that night, we're going to let you just celebrate however you want to celebrate, okay? So, well, not however you want to celebrate, but just have a great time with your family. Just enjoy each other. And then that Wednesday, I want you to say, first Wednesday. We're going to have our something that we just started this year. It's our first Wednesday every month, the first Wednesday. We're going to have church here in this sanctuary, and it's going to be awesome. How many would like something in the middle of the week to just kind of help? Yes, yes. So that will be the first Wednesday. We're going to start that out, and there will be kids on the move. There will be Ignite. It's just going to be a great, there will be Soul Fire. It's just going to be a great time together. So that is going to be great. How many are looking forward to that? Yes, yes. And as the ushers come to receive the offering, I just wanted to remind you about our Project 18. If you haven't given for our Project 18, you don't want to miss being a part of what this church is going to do through all of the year of 2018, and it's going to be great. How many believe that we need to reach out to our community, and we need to reach out all around the world? Amen? Amen. So we're just expecting some great things. I wanted to tell you just a little story that I heard this morning on the news. This little boy went and watched The Grinch with his dad, and he was just really little, and it kind of freaked him out a little bit. If you actually think of some of the Christmas things that we let our children watch, dear Lord. So after The Grinch, he was really stressed out about Christmas. And so he got the phone, he got his dad's cell phone, and he called 911. And he said, "I'm afraid The Grinch is going to come steal my gifts." And so you hear the father in the background, and he says, "Who are you on the phone with?" "The police," he said. And so the police came and reassured him that the Grinch wasn't going to come in and take everything. And then the police went and got the Grinch and brought them to the house. And he said, I won't do it, I promise. So I just want you to know, maybe some of you are a little worried about the holidays and the season, but it's going to be good, okay? It's going to be good, don't worry. Nobody's going to come steal your presents. It's all good, keep your doors locked. So I just want to say thank you to this church and how faithful you are every week in your giving. You've been faithful all year, and I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness. It's good to give to God's house and God's work, isn't it? It is. And I did want to say that it's great to have kids on the move and Ignite in church. It's good. If you're one that usually is in kids on the move, can you just scream Merry Christmas to me? There's only three of you maybe here. So I know we're in, as you call it, big kids church, and we don't do as much. Yes, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas. So let's just pray, and I've got your kids wound up, and I do apologize. So we're going to pray and ask the Lord to just bless this offering. God, we just thank you for the families of Charleston Church, and I just thank you for their faithfulness. And I pray, God, that you bless this offering and you bless every person that gives in this offering, that you bless their finances. I pray, Lord, that you bless this coming year financially to the families of this church. I know they continually give to you, and we are blessed. We have the favor of God even in our finances, and we just thank you for that. And just bless this service in Jesus' name, amen. Here's a video to tell you a little bit about First Wednesday.
Hey guys, as you know, it's really close to Christmas, and we've brought you here today so you can tell us all about the Christmas story. So we want you to tell us the story like you remember it, from the beginning until the end. And first, we want you to start by introducing yourselves.
Lydia.
Reese and Addie.
Reese.
Nolan.
Kylie.
Macy.
Gabriel.
Henry.
Mary.
And
Gibson.
They won't marry at first. They won't married. They're engaged.
Well, they're gonna get married anyway. But then angel named Gabriel came and talked to Mary and told them that Mary was gonna have a baby, Jesus.
When the angel came to them, Joseph was dreaming.
And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Jesus sent me to tell you that you're gonna have a baby."
Okay.
They moved into another town.
They went to Bethlehem.
Mary was on a donkey. He was pulling a donkey. All the hotels were awful because people were living there.
They asked for people, do you have room? And I kept saying no, and they kept shutting the doors.
They had to go to the stable.
They found a stable that was clean, filled with animals.
Horses.
Cows.
Camels.
A donkey.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus wasn't born in a place where, like, they were. He was born in a stable.
He just was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
And put him in a manger.
Because I watched a video of it this morning.
That night were the shepherds staying in fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep.
They were keeping their sheep safe, and they had a fire set up to keep them warm.
And angels came.
All the angels gathered around and said to them,
"Brina, I bring you great tidings of great joy.
I came to tell you that Mary is gonna have a baby named baby Jesus." They went to see baby Jesus. They ran. Without the donkeys just like walked.
And wise men came.
The three wise men.
They were watching, then they saw the star and rejoiced, I guess.
They followed it.
Bangs cut at Grammy Lee's today.
And I got my braided pigtails.
I'm pulling my hair out.
More than pulling you out.
Yes. Don't worry. You touch both of her hair like this, and then you like that. That is not acceptable.
Yes, taking all the space, guys.
Men brought gifts. Gold frankincense and myrrh.
Mirth? It's weird. It's just say mirth because like a moth.
And that's the story of Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
be made complete. Let your voices shout to the rooftop. Declare his name in the streets, for there is a hope, and his name is Jesus. Let your voices be heard. The Emmanuel has come.
No.
Together this morning, let's stand together, and would you do me a huge favor? Let's give God the greatest hand clap of gratitude and praise. I mean, for him, really, for real. We thank you, Lord. Come on, that ought to be the best of the year. Make it the best of 2017. Let there be no doubt, he gets all the glory and he gets all the honor and all the praise. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Awesome. Praise God. If you would take your Bibles and let me just have a few moments of your time while you're standing and open your Bibles to the book of Micah chapter 5. So if you've got your Bible, you can open it up. If you've got a digital device, you can turn it on. If you've got an app, an iPad, you can open that up. If you're on a budget and you have something lesser, then you can open that up. But I got a tremendous something going on up here, Alfie. And if it's fixable, can you fix it? Or do you want me to use something else? You want me to use something else? You got a bullhorn, a paper towel holder, something like that? I'll take that, honey. Okay. We've had all kinds of stuff going on the platform, so. How's that? Is that good? All right. Well, I sound pretty good in that. I just noticed I sound like 4 inches taller with that microphone. I'm gonna use this from now on. I feel taller, younger. You look more responsive. This mic's good for all of us. All right. I'm so glad that you, for real, I wish I could say to every single one of you, not that you need to hear it from me, but thank you so much for coming today. And it's so good to sit with your family, isn't it? And it's so good. But thank you for coming to be a part of our church family. I pray that God will bless you today. If you're visiting, it's such a privilege that you'd come. And I know other people have, they're traveling to family and they've got family stuff that's going on today. But thank you for coming. I believe I got something from the Lord that will encourage you today. The Bible says in the book of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and then we can be seated. It reads this way. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. I want to talk to you just briefly this morning on this short topic, why Bethlehem? Why Bethlehem? Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing would come upon your people these last few moments that we have of this service and the next to the last Sunday of this year. I pray something supernatural happens in our hearts. I pray that people that are far from you will draw close to you today. And commitments will be made in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I'll mention to you, thank you, musicians. Paul and Heather are away there in Canada celebrating Christmas with Paul's family. The reason being, Paul loves Christmas so much he couldn't wait the extra hour. So he went to Nova Scotia to get to Christmas a little earlier. But would you help me thank all the musicians that worked so hard together today? Starting January the 7th through the 28th will be our 21-day challenge. I'll just drop that on you quickly this morning. But our 21-day challenge will consist of praying, reading, and fasting. And we've got a different way that we're going to go about it this year. But each week we'll have a prayer emphasis. Each day we'll do our reading, which we'll do the book of John. There are 21 chapters in John, so we'll read a chapter a day. Then we're going to have a staff member live or stream on our Facebook page. I just said the Facebook page. I can't believe it. That's embarrassing. On the Facebook. And they'll be doing a devotional, a prayer, and so just 21 days to really inspire you, and let's get 2018 started right. Let's get it started right, and we'll finish better if we start better. And so I'm looking forward to what God will do. If you think of different cities, and I know there's children here, so I'm not going to give you the full-length movie today, but sometimes children have longer attention spans than some of the adults, so I guess I don't really have that much of a challenge. When you think of different cities, you think of different things. Like when I think of Boston, I think of the Red Sox. When I think of Orlando, I think of Disney. When I think of Dallas, I think of that show that was on a black and white television when I was a little boy. I think of Los Angeles, I think of Hollywood. When I think of New York City, I think of the Statue of Liberty. When I think of Pittsburgh, I think of the only reason for the NFL to still exist. But when you think of Bethlehem, if you were a Jew, you thought of many different things. And there is a reason that I believe God had his son born in Bethlehem. It's a small town, about 600 people. But how many know God can do some big things in small towns? Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth was known as a place to rest. It really was the place that people who wanted to get away from it all would go. So people would say, let's, when we retire, buy our little cabin in Bethlehem. Or let's take next week off and let's go to Bethlehem and rest. Or maybe we should get the family together for holidays and let's go to Bethlehem and just spend some time together. It was a place that people would relax. And it's appropriate that Jesus would be born in a place where people would rest. I found that people who have a relationship with Christ experience a rest that people who do not know him do not experience. I would like to just say to God with you collectively today, thank God that we rest from worrying about our eternity. Thank God that we rest from our worry about the details of our lives. Thank God that we rest. I heard somebody say, worrying is betting against yourself. Worrying, you could also say, is betting against God. I would rather trust God. If I'm going to lay everything on the line somewhere, I'm going to lay it on the line for Jesus Christ, because he is the true source of rest today. And if you don't, well, the children are running to the altar. Praise God. That preaching's so good, they're running before I even get a chance to do an altar call. Is anyone else like to come? How many adults does it take to find a child? We got two. Come, child. Receive from the Lord again. Oh, he's a good catcher. That's a security detail. I just felt like an attack was taking place. The kid was going to come up here and take my mic. Anyway, everybody pray for that little boy and his mom, if you would, please. We love you guys. I tell you, that next point was going to be powerful, but I'm just going to move right along because I can't think of what it was now. Oh, that's fun. That's awesome. I don't know. Was I coming or going? Was I getting into it or was I getting over it? I was getting into it. All right. Rest. I don't know where I was going, but what's that? Yeah, I'm betting on Jesus. Amen. Good point, Benny. Anyways, it was good, whatever that was. So, here's something I could talk to you about. I love it. I have no problem with that at all. So the Jews. When they thought of Bethlehem, they thought of its history. There we go. That's something interesting to talk about. Let's talk about the history of Bethlehem. You see, every Jew that heard of Jesus' birth and where he was born knew that there was a long history of God doing some great things in a little town called Bethlehem. First thing I want to say to you is this. What we learn from Bethlehem is what starts in pain becomes powerful. What we learn from Bethlehem is what starts in pain becomes powerful. If you'll remember, Rachel, the wife of Jacob, was going to have a son in some very difficult times. And when she gave birth in Bethlehem, she named her son Benoni. The name Benoni means something. When they named their children back then, it wasn't because it was the coolest name or it was the name of a relative. It really was something significant. And that child's life would be formed by what they were named because it would form their identity. And she named her child, her son, Benoni, name being, meaning, son of my pain. What a terrible name to have to carry around with you for the rest of your life. And when she gave birth to Benoni, she died. And his dad stepped in and said, wait a minute, I'm the father. I have the right to name that child. And before you write on the birth certificate the name Benoni, scratch it out, delete it, white it out, and I want you to put a new name. I name him. She named him Benoni. I name him Benjamin. Benjamin means the son of my right hand. Because the father got involved, the boy went from being known as the son of pain to becoming known as the son of my right hand. And we all know that at the right hand is the place of authority and the place of power. I need you to understand today that no matter how much pain has come into your life, if you bring God into it, He's able to transfer the pain and make you powerful in return. What else happened in Bethlehem? Well, let's talk about this. What starts in bitterness ends in joy. Naomi, who had left Israel, go on to the next slide. Naomi, who had left Israel, had taken her husband and two sons because of a famine and went to Moab. There, her two boys married two Moabitess ladies. Suddenly, her husband died. Both of her sons die. She leaves Moab, comes back to Israel with one daughter-in-law named Ruth. Now, when people see Naomi, they remember what she was. Naomi's name means joy. She was joyful. She was happy. But when she comes back, they say, hey, Naomi, we're glad you're back in town. And she says, don't call me Naomi ever again. I'm not Naomi. I'm not joyful. My name is different. My name is Mara. I'm bitter. Now, please hear what I'm going to say to you. I've met a lot of people in my lifetime. And I've met a lot of people I would consider bitter. But I've never met one who'd admit it. You'll very rarely find somebody who is bitter that will just up front say, you know what, I'm bitter. But Naomi didn't even hide it. I mean, she was so broken and so disappointed and so hurting. And I'm not saying that I'm not minimizing the causes for bitterness, but I am saying that she brought Ruth back to her. Ruth, with her, Ruth got married to a kinsman redeemer, to a guy named Boaz, who was a wealthy businessman. They got married. When they had a child, Naomi stopped saying, call me bitter and call me joy again, because she realized that Ruth's baby would be the grandfather, or in the lineage of the birth of Christ, who ended up being the grandfather of King David. I need you to hear this and make it very plain. That it was in Bethlehem that Naomi realized that God can take what the enemy meant for evil, and He can make it become something good. In the very area, and this is a sensitive area for some of you that are here, and I want to be careful, and I don't want to spend too long on it, but I'm just telling you, don't give up on the most painful area of your life, for the very area that you shed the most tears is the very area that God can show Himself strong. Don't walk away from Him in the midst of a disappointment. Walk toward Him, because only He can redeem. If you're going to shed that many tears and go through that much pain, don't you think you deserve something good to come out of something bad? That's what happens when God gets involved. When God gets involved, what starts in pain becomes powerful. When God gets involved, what starts in bitterness becomes joyful. When God gets involved, what starts with limits is given honor. David, the greatest king of Israel, was born in that little town called Bethlehem. People that lived in Bethlehem would look at Charleston like a city. I thought that was funnier when I thought of it, but not so funny when I say it publicly. He was born in a little place. But even though he was born in a small place of limitation, he became one of the greatest kings of Israel, one of the greatest military leaders of all humanity, and in the lineage of the birth of Jesus Christ. You might feel like you're in a small place. You might feel like you're in a limited situation. You might feel like you don't have the right name or you don't have the right pedigree. Maybe somebody hates you because of your skin color. Maybe somebody despises you because of the past. Maybe you think that there's no hope for tomorrow because of what you did or somebody else did yesterday. But I've got good news. When you get God involved, what you may start with is little, but you give him your bag lunch and he's able to multiply and bring honor where you used to feel shame. That's what happens in Bethlehem. And lastly, in Bethlehem, we learn what starts in pain becomes powerful. What starts in bitterness ends in joy. What starts with limits is given honor. And what starts in conflict ends in blessing. The name Bethlehem has two meanings. One, it's named the house of bread, and it's also called the house of war. Begin to think about that this week. You know, when it comes to faith, it can either become the greatest thing in your life or it can become the conflict of your life. Jesus Christ said that when he came, he would bring a sword. And when Jesus comes into your life, you're either going to receive him as the blesser or you're going to receive him as a battle. I'd like to tell you that every day that Jesus comes and he just gives you Christmas gifts like Santa would. But there are areas in your life that Jesus Christ will come and there's a conflict. But it's not because he wants to beat you down. How many understand the greatest thing that you can do for a trapped animal is set it free? And whenever there's a conflict that Jesus Christ brings into your life, it's not to beat you down. It's because something he sees is limiting you and he wants to set you free. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't remember a day or time that you publicly acknowledged that you're born a sinner. You didn't have you that time in your memory that you can say, I confess Jesus Christ had forgiven my sins and had come into my life. If you don't, or something has happened through the pain, something has happened through the conflict, something has happened through the humility, something has happened through the bitterness, and you've drifted from him. I'm telling you today, before this service is over, the best Christmas gift you could ever receive is a relationship with Jesus Christ and a brand new beginning with God. He offers it to everybody in this building and online today. Praise God. I didn't finish Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The rest of the scripture says this, and we'll conclude. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins in the distant past will come from you on my behalf. It's a prophetic scripture that God spoke through Micah hundreds of years before Jesus would be born. And I could go into all the prophetic fulfillment here that I think would build your faith, but for time and for what I've got to get done, let me just explain that scripture a little bit better. It almost appears that the writer is saying, this is the God that has appeared in the past. And maybe you think, well, I've heard you preach that Jesus came for the first time at Christmas, or what we celebrate is Christmas. But understand, when Jesus was born, that's not the first time he came to earth. We understand when Abraham had encountered three angelic beings that he acknowledged the center one to be God. And he only bowed and worshiped one. And he sat with God, and God began to give him promises and strength for his journey. We understand that God came before Christmas to Jacob. Remember Jacob, I talked to him about him last week. Jacob wrestled God. He wrestled God. And God won. After he lost. And then he won. You got to listen to last week's sermon. Joshua was about to go into a great battle. And the Bible says God appeared to him as a commander. The children remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar said, bow and worship this great idol. And the three Hebrew boys said, we won't bow to this culture's norm. And they threw him in the fire. And when Nebuchadnezzar walked over, he saw the three Hebrew boys walking in the fire. And then he said, but the fourth one is like as unto the Son of God. I would say that God made visits to the earth multiple times before he came through birth. But all of those times, he came with all of the privileges of being God. So every one of those times he came, he had the privilege of never being sick, of never being confined, of never being whipped, of never being hungry, of never being attacked, of never being backstabbed. When he came then, he came in his fullness. In other words, he was God and nobody could touch him. But the time he comes concerning Micah chapter 5 and the prophecy is this. This time, he removes his privileges as God. And you can spear him in the side. You can punch him in the face. You can put a crown of thorns on his head. And you can hate him because of his race. And you could despise him because of his birth. In fact, Jesus left himself vulnerable to be attacked by any and all humanity by any means that they decided. He came differently at Christmas. He came differently at the incarnation. And I've come to tell you today, because he came that time, I want you to hear these words. Listen to this. Jesus takes the pain and he makes us powerful. Jesus takes the bitterness and he gives us joy. Jesus takes the limits and he gives us honor. And Jesus takes the conflict. Is anybody paying attention back there? And gives us honor and gives us blessing. In other words, what I'm telling you today is that all of the sorrow that was experienced in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ himself took it upon himself so that your pain becomes his pain. Your bitterness becomes his bitterness. Your conflict becomes his conflict. Do you hear what I'm telling you today? The God that God who showed up in the Old Testament, God who showed up in the Old Testament, just it got involved. But the Jesus that we see took upon himself. Is anybody out there? The very pain that you feel today, Jesus feels it himself. The very suffering that you feel today, Jesus suffers with you. But good news is that he makes sure that no amount of suffering is not repaid with an immeasurable amount of blessing. Musicians, come. There were two exits out of heaven. The devil said he wanted to be God. The devil said he wanted to be God, and God said no. And God made him exit heaven, and one-third of the angels followed him. God didn't wrestle the devil. He said, get. Get. You leave. You go. And one-third of the angels followed him. I need you to understand, there was great angelic rejoicing when Satan was evicted out of heaven. But there was one more that would leave heaven as well. But it was totally different when he exited. The Bible says that the Father said to the Son, I need you to go. And I need you to feel what they feel. I need you to experience what they experience. I need you to identify with them. And the Son said to the Father, yes. I want to contrast the two exits. With one exit, the devil walks out arrogantly. The angels that followed him go out in defeat. And the angelic choirs sing and the victory of God. But the second exit to ever happen out of heaven was a different setting. Are you all out there? For when Jesus walked the streets of gold, the angels wept, I believe. The angels rejoiced when the devil was kicked out, but the angels wept when Jesus walked out. One was removed. The other was released. I believe the angels wept. They love the Son. We know what he's going to go through. We've heard the prophecies. We've heard it talked about the beating, the whipping, the anguish, the separation. I believe the angels wept as Jesus walked. He walked through that door that led from eternity into a place called time. And a whole bunch of angels said, Father, A third of us left when Satan was removed. Father, would it be all right if a bunch of us follow your son when he goes? I believe the Father said that'd be fine. I'll tell you where I find that. The book of Luke, chapter 2. Says these words. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Watch this. The angel, somebody say angel, said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. Come on, somebody, of great joy. Read it with me. Ready? Do not be afraid. Read it again. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Now watch this next verse. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. The city of David is Bethlehem, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, like you saw on face on YouTube, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, what did they say? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A third of the angels may have been walking out with the devil when he left, but I don't know, but maybe at least a third of heavenly angels have followed the Son, and they went to declare for you and I, there's good news. God from heaven has stepped into earth to bring you good news, joy, and peace. That makes me want to shout. I don't know. That makes me want to rejoice. That makes me want to preach to people that are broken. You don't have to stay broken. That makes me want to preach to people that are depressed. You don't have to stay depressed. That makes me want to preach to people that are addicted. You don't have to stay addicted. That makes me want to preach to people who are worried. You don't have to worry, because Jesus Christ has come at the angel's declaration that you don't have to be there anymore. Come on, give him a praise. He deserves the honor. Worthy? I said, is he worthy? How worthy is he? Come on, how worthy is he? Is he worthy of your praise? Is he worthy of your service? Is he worthy of your commitment? Is he worthy to lay your burden down on him? I could conclude by saying this. Of all that hell has tried to do to you, it does not compare to all that heaven plans on getting done on your behalf. You receive that, stand to your feet with me if you would please. If you receive that, stand to your feet with me if you would please. And lift up holy hands and begin to thank God for Jesus Christ. I don't know if you'll get what you want for Christmas, but I can tell you, you've got Jesus. You've got everything you need. Come on, begin to lift up your voice. Lift up those hands and begin to praise Him. And begin to magnify Him and glorify God today. And may His presence fill this place and strengthen you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Magnify Him with me if you would. He deserves the glory. He's here. He deserves the honor. Our God is stronger.
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Come on, let's give Him what He wants, is the praise. Let's join those angels and do it.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
oh, one more time, magnify Him.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
God is for
with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And what could stand against?
Hallelujah. Come on, adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. One time before we go today, sing it.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. 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 Oh, come, let us adore Him.
Heavenly Father, I thank You today. I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, the salvation of Your people. And today, God, our faith goes into You. And I believe, as we prayed at the beginning of this service, we conclude in praying at the end, miracles, signs, and wonders for the people of God today. Hallelujah. That no matter where we're at, the moment we bring You into it, we start moving to where You want us to be. Hallelujah. And God, I pray for Your precious people. God, some are on the top and some are on their way. But either way, God, we need You today like never before. I pray for those that are here. They don't have a relationship with You. The Bible, Lord, You declared to us, says that when we're separate from You, it's called spiritual death. And Jesus, You came to bring that connection back between the Father and us. You came to adopt us, to make us part of Your family. God, in a moment, I pray that You'll give the courage and the boldness to people who need it today to make a decision that starting on December 24th, 2017, I'm going to serve Jesus. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Today is your day. Today is your moment, and you don't have to delay another moment. This Christmas can be totally different. This is the Christmas that God begins to turn lights on for you. He begins to turn situations around for you and begins to shine His light of hope, faith, and love into your life and situation. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm one of those people. When you said, there are people here that don't have a relationship with Christ. That's me. I believe, but I don't have that moment in time that I can look back and say, that's when it happened. Then why don't you let December 24th be that day? I can't think of a better time than today. If that's you, slip your hand up nice and high long enough for me to see you. Then you can put it down. God bless you. Who else? Who else? Say, this is the day. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Look, if you're a child, raise your hand. If you're an adult, God bless you, young lady over there. Telling you, today is the greatest. Yes, I see you in the balcony. Yes, yes, I see you both in the balcony. This is the greatest miracle that will ever happen to you. It's the beginning of miracles. I want every person that raised their hand to just, you can look at me. Quickly, step out of the aisle. Come and stand with me at this altar. And let's pray this victorious, joyful, celebratory prayer together. Come on. Come on, let's do this together. Come on, altar workers. Want those others that raise their hand to come and join me right here, real quick. Come on down out of the balcony. We got time. I'm in no hurry today. I'm in no hurry today. This is the day. This is somebody's moment. If you're here, I don't want to act like I'm in a hurry concerning your soul. If you're here, this is the day. You say, do I have to? What I'm doing today is biblical. Jesus never called people to make a private decision. It is not biblical. It's biblical to make everybody Jesus called, He called publicly. This is awesome. This is awesome. Praise God. I want us to pray this prayer together. This is a big day for this gentleman right here. This is Mom back there. Come on, Mom. Mom, you can come down with your boy. Merry Christmas. Praise God. Is there anybody else? There are other people here. Your mom prayed for you. Your dad prayed for you. There's a gentleman coming over to my right. I'm waiting. Come on, I'm waiting. Praise God. What's your first name, buddy? Kevin? What's going on, Kevin? This is the Holy Spirit. This is what God does. It's all right. It's all right. Help it. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth 2,000 years ago. I came into this building today needing you, needing a relationship with you. I believe that you were born to die and raised from the dead for me. Please forgive me from all my sins. I'm ready to be a brand new man, starting from the inside out. The past is buried and the future is bright. I receive strength to serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rejoice and praise God together. Forgot your first name. Tirza. Beautiful name. How old is Tirza? How old are you, sweetheart? She's 4 years old. How many would like to pray with Tirza today as she prays? Dad, you want to come down? You want to come down, Dad? Praise God. Isn't this beautiful? What God is doing today? Here comes Dad. Bless you, sweetheart. Do you want to pray with me, Tirza? You do? Okay, I'd love to pray with you. Let's just pray this way. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I want you to come into my heart and to give me the gift of your love. I want to be your daughter. I want to be a part of your family. I want to do what you put me on this earth to do. I thank you for your son, Jesus, in my heart today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is not an insignificant thing. Ladies and gentlemen, how many of the Holy Spirit can deal with the spirit of anybody at any age? And this little girl, as soon as I got done praying, she just... Mom and Dad are just moved by this. Look, you don't know what God's doing here. But God's doing something in her beautiful little heart. Praise God. Praise God. Who knows the seed that God's sowing right there. Isn't that awesome? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Kelly, I want Kelly to come and pray with tears. She knows Miss Kelly. And I want her to pray with her. Beautiful, beautiful. Just pray God's blessing over her life.
Lord, we thank you so much for this little girl. God, I thank you, Lord, that no matter what age we are, that we can come to you and that you have a plan and that you have a purpose for her. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for a hedge of protection upon her. Lord, that you will use her in a mighty way. Wherever she goes, Lord, I pray that she will be used, that she'll never be fearful, but God, that you will give her a courage that comes only from you. I pray that she'll be used in her school. I pray that she'll be used in her home. I pray that she'll be used wherever she goes. Lord, that she'll be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and that she will never, ever forget this moment that she gave her life to you. God, I thank you for what you are going to do for her and for her family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you. Bless you guys. Praise God. Well, Merry Christmas. I don't know a better way to celebrate Christmas than people coming to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Give God praise, would you? I praise you, Lord. To God be the glory.